For hundreds of years, we brought you the news. For in the info, we gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Changing market now threatens our lives.
Hey everybody, welcome to Navel Gazing, the Valley Indie Podcast. My name is Eugene Driscoll. I'm the reporter, editor, grant writer, sort of marketing guy, sometimes salesperson for valleyindie.org. That's an online newspaper covering Derby and Sonia Seymour, sometimes Shelton if I have the time. I am very pleased to welcome my next guest to the program. It is Mr. Jimmy Tickey, who is the interim board chair for the Valley United Way. That's his volunteer work. And he's also the chief of staff district director for Congressman Jim Himes. So, Jimmy Tickey, welcome back to Navel Gazing.
Hi, Eugene. Thanks for having me back.
No problem. I'm just happy I remembered to turn up your microphone. I can't tell you how many times I don't do that and we have to start the whole thing over. So, thank you. I know you ain't got time for that. So, I appreciate that. So,
thanks so much for having me.
My
How
pleasure.
You doing?
I'm doing all right. We were chatting a little bit, you know, there's ups and downs here, but I guess the thing that I have to focus on is, you know, like the frontline workers, the people who are in the hospitals, not to mention the people who are ill with this virus, the people that are at the grocery store, the people who are putting themselves in harm's way every day, working marathon hours to provide for us, to protect us. It's really a sense of community. Like, you got to look at it that way. At least I do when I start to get down to the dumps, you know, like broadcasting in my basement. But so that's me.
That's right. Exactly. And, you know, you're fortunate, and some are fortunate to be able to work from home. But for all those first responders, the grocery store workers and healthcare professionals that really are on the front lines and honestly putting themselves in harm's way so that we can get on the other side of this pandemic.
And so one thing we're going to talk about right now is that there are very concrete ways people can take action. If you're feeling like I am, if you're feeling a little helpless, a little hopeless in what's happening in the world today. But I wanted to talk to you, Jimmy, about the Valley COVID-19 Response and Recovery Fund that is happening. I just published a story last night announcing the first wave of grants that are going out there. So can you talk a little bit about what types of programs and nonprofits are benefiting in this first round and who's involved?
Yes, absolutely. So this is really just another example of how our Valley works together in times of need and in times of crisis. And so when the COVID-19 was spreading and some community leaders decided that area agencies need to come together as they often do and work together for the benefit of the community, the Valley United Way jumped right in. So this is a response and recovery fund that is made possible by the Valley Community Foundation, the Valley United Way, the Greater Valley Chamber of Commerce, and also the Valley Council for Health and Human Services. And as of today, we have raised over $170,000 into that fund. And just yesterday, the Valley Community Foundation announced the first round of grants, which totals almost $80,000. There's more grants to come, but I'll talk about a couple of the grants that show just how real these dollars make a difference in the lives of people who are on the front line or to really the most vulnerable that are in need of help. So just some of the grants included the Agency on Aging in South Central Connecticut, a couple $1,000s to provide food for homebound older adults and those that are living with disabilities. BH Care also got a grant in the amount of $3,000 to support the purchase of PPE, which we have all learned a lot about, the importance of PPE and cleaning supplies for all of its facilities and for its workers. The Cornell Health Center in Ansonia, more PPE and protective equipment for those workers, but also Echo Hose Hook and Ladder Volunteer Ambulance Corps in Shelton, several $1,000s to support PPE and cleaning equipment. We're also working with Griffin Hospital. They received a grant of $5,000 for PPE and related supplies for the hospital staff. So we are working across so many different groups that are needing of help, support, whether it's food, PPE, and it has a very real effect. So when people go to valleyfoundation.org and they make a donation, that donation is really going to get into the hands of an agency or a group that needs it. Another group is Team. Team received a $5,000 contribution for food, diapers, medications for those impacted by COVID-19, as well as people who are on housing and utilities assistance. That Valley Council for Health and Human Services, several thousands dollars more to clean up and sanitize all of our food pantries and make sure that all of the area food pantries are remaining operational. Because one of the things that we've seen through this process is that there is a great need for food, and that people are in need of food pantry services. And so we want to make sure that all those services are not only operational, but, you know, the workers and the volunteers that are there are safe and have all the proper equipment. And so we have had some major donations from the Valley Community Foundation, Bassett Family Fund, Jones's Family Farms, Prudential UI. But we also have had a lot of people just go on to valleyfoundation.org and make a contribution of any amount, because it all will make a difference, and it will stay right here in our valley to help our first responders, our organizations, and the families that need it most.
Yeah, one of the great things about this fund that people can trust, I mean, you've got a bunch of organizations here that are teaming up to distribute this money. It goes directly, like you're saying, Jimmy, it goes directly to nonprofits that need it, whether it's Derby Storm Ambulance Corps to buy PPE, the hospital to get PPEs. Sometimes I feel like in the social media world we're in, where we're connected, but we're all a little disjointed and information is not structured. You can't go to one place to get all this info. So people are, hey, I have some masks. Maybe I can donate to this person, this organization. This is the nonprofits themselves filling out grant applications saying, here's what we need. Here's how we'll use this grant money. So it really is a perfect way. And I mean, they just created this thing. The turnaround has been amazing. So it's already out there helping these organizations. So what's the next round? I know that I believe the next round, the applications are due April 27th. And that's also on valleyfoundation.org. But who's in line to get grants? What types of organizations for this next round of grant funding?
That's right. So, as you said, valleyfoundation.org is the place to go, not only if you want to make a contribution, but if you are hearing this and you are an agency or a provider of some kind and you are in need of additional funds, this is the site to go. We also have a form for you to fill out if you are seeking such a grant. And Eugene, we want to make sure that the dollars that are raised into this fund are moving immediately to satisfy people's needs, whether it is personal protective equipment, or different assistance for seniors, for families, for those food banks, and any provider that is on the front lines helping people as they move through this process. So if you are a provider out there, valleyfoundation.org to apply. And if you're interested in making a contribution, please do so. And the Valley Community Foundation Board continually is moving through these various deadlines and really allocating the funding as it comes in. We have moved on this effort so quickly, and you are already seeing the dollars put to use. And the other fund that I would like to mention is the United Way Fund that the United Ways across Connecticut have come together to put together a gift card program for families who are in need the most in every community. And so our Valley United Way so far has almost 70 gift cards. The gift cards are in the amount of $200 each, and we are working with Team, who is our community action agency for the Naugatuck Valley, to identify those families who are in the most need, and we are getting them a direct $200 gift card so that they may use that for food, groceries, and so forth. And that is a statewide United Way program.
And then in terms of people want to support that program, how do you do so? If I want to make a donation to help the United Way and Team provide these gift cards to my neighbors, how do I do that?
So that is a great question, and this has really been an amazing effort for me to learn, too, about the power of the United Ways across Connecticut. It really is a self-sustaining program that all of the Valley United Ways across the state of Connecticut have come together and put in their own funds to make this a sustainable program. So if somebody did want to support the United Way, they would support their local United Way. So you can go to Valley United Way's website or contact the Valley United Way. But that is really a self-sustaining program where all the United Ways in Connecticut have come together for that gift card program. And it also, this whole effort has shown me the importance and the power of 211, which is a central place to get information, which is actually a Connecticut United Way program as well.
Yeah, that's amazing. And how about, Jimmy, I know the United Way in general, the Valley United Way, I assume, and I should never assume, but I am, it's got to be a tough time in general. I know in past discussions I've had with United Way leaders over the years, it becomes more and more difficult to raise money for an organization like the United Way, who relies very closely on corporate partners, and it's become increasingly harder to get a foot in the door to actually speak to a local representative of some corporations, I've been told over the years. How challenging is it, or has it been the last few years for the Valley United Way? And is this now all compounded by the COVID-19 virus and economic lockdown we're all experiencing?
Well, that is a great question, and anyone that is in any philanthropic work around a nonprofit has seen just how difficult it is to raise funds in these environments, because there is such need out there, and organizations are also bracing themselves in costs, but also flat income coming in, if at all. And so I was the campaign chair for the Valley United Way for 3 years, and I remember each year we had this $1 million goal to raise $1 million across the Valley that went right back out to support our area agencies. And it was a daunting task, and it only happened because we had a group of volunteers and corporate leaders that fanned out across the community and worked nonstop to raise those funds. And I remember when I was younger and I was involved in the Valley United Way and their youth leadership program, Jack Walsh, who was our longtime president for about 30 years, would always say the campaign ends when the leaves fall off the trees. And now we all know raising money is a 24/7 activity for any nonprofit. There's no downtime in a campaign because the resources are so scarce and the need is so great. And so it is a challenge to raise funds. And then when you think about the environment that we are in now, the future of fundraising is very much uncertain. But I think a lot of the organizations that have come together for the Response and Recovery Fund, we aren't yet thinking about that future. I think we are really thinking about now and how we can get families and organizations the help right now. We will get on the other side of this. We will. And then at that point, we are going to have to discuss how we move forward in very difficult financial times to move these organizations forward and to make sure that they are still helping the people who need it most.
And then one last thing I wanted to ask you about, Mr. Tickey, is, I mean, your day job, you're the district manager for Congressman Himes. In terms of PPEs getting to the hospitals and to the first responders, I have a sense that you probably have a better idea of what's happening on the ground than I do based on your day job. How are Connecticut hospitals, or the ones in our region, the ones in our immediate area, how are they doing in terms of PPEs?
Well, initially, that was very tough. Initially, in the first couple of weeks, they were lacking PPE and they were lacking guidance nationally and support, but that has really come together in the last couple of weeks. I am in touch every single day with the congressman in our office around mayors and first electmen, hospitals, community health centers, and the state and the governor have allowed for a path to get PPE into the hands of hospitals and first responders and municipalities. There has been some additional support now from the federal government to get that PPE out there to the first responders. But I am literally on the phone morning, noon, and night with hospital CEOs and other first responders. And the second that they don't have PPE or they see that shortage is coming, they're communicating it to us. And I'm in touch with the governor's office. We have been in touch as an office as well with the vice president's office to make sure that we are getting PPE into Connecticut. And if you look at the map across Connecticut, it is hit Fairfield County, of which Shelton is a part of, so hard. And just behind Fairfield County is New Haven County. When you look at the rest of the state, it isn't as much as impact, but viruses like this shouldn't be thought of in terms of state boundaries. You know, they don't know state lines. And so when you see on the news how people are talking about how a hard hit New York City is, that's just over the border from Stamford and Norwalk. And so these numbers are really just astronomical. And so I hope that we are hitting this apex and we are getting on the other side of it. But the need for PPE and the need for testing is so strong, and we continue to make sure that there's PPE to all those who need it, that there is testing. I was so encouraged to see a couple of days ago there is a free rapid testing site in New Haven. Right now it's the only one in the state, but hopefully there's more to come. You do not need a doctor's note for the CVS testing site in New Haven. The other testing sites that are affiliated with hospitals, you do need a doctor's note, but that's a place to go. If anyone wants to get tested for COVID-19, they can. And I'm hopeful that with our healthcare system leading the way and some good communication in this time, we can move through this and make sure people are still social distancing and following CDC guidelines. We bend that curve down and we get on the other side of this.
And then just my last question, and I apologize because we were just supposed to talk about the United Way and the fund, so I'm throwing things at you. But one thing that's just weighing on my mind is the amount of fatalities we're seeing in nursing homes and assisted living facilities in Shelton. What has the congressman done to sort of address that situation, if anything? Or is the office in contact with the administrators of this nursing home to try to get a handle of what's going on and how they're handling what's happening inside?
Yes. So the congressman has been in touch with state officials and also several of the nursing homes across Southwest Connecticut. And in Shelton, obviously that's personal for me as I'm from Shelton. And last I saw, we had over 300 cases of positive COVID-19 tests, and many of them were in the nursing homes. And so you've seen just how hard hit nursing homes are. I was encouraged a couple of days ago to see that the governor and the commissioner related to these efforts put out the list so that it was transparent about what nursing homes are seeing these sorts of numbers, and working with the nursing homes to make sure that there are protections in place and that there can be testing for the nursing homes. And I also saw that the governor is planning on visiting all of those nursing homes to making sure that all the best protocols are followed, so that we can make sure that there is that testing in place, so we can bend that curve back. And then also, I understand that there are nursing homes that are going to be for COVID-positive patients, so that they are moving folks into those areas that are COVID-positive, and seniors that are not would be elsewhere, so that we are really separating out and making sure that COVID-19 is not spreading across these nursing homes.
Okay. Now, I realize I went all over the place in this interview, but such is life during a pandemic, I'm learning. So I want to thank you, Jimmy, so much for taking the time, and encourage people to go to the Valley Community Foundation website, valleyfoundation.org, to make a donation to that local fund that's going to help groups, organizations, people, and businesses, or to apply for a grant, and to also support the Valley United Way, because they do tons and tons of good work for the Naugatuck Valley. So before we say goodbye, is there anything you wanted to add, Jimmy?
Well, Eugene, thank you for the questions. And you're right, we kind of went all over the place, and I'm happy to answer to the best of my ability. But it really shows how important communication is in a time of crisis. And you know, the governor's out there every day taking questions. And if someone is thinking of a question at home, call 211, call your representative's office and get that question answered, because we want to make sure that people have the right information and that you are being communicated with, so you understand what's happening, so that because we all have a role to play in these next couple of weeks in making sure we get on the other side of COVID-19. But we can only do that if we have good, true, factual information. And we know, and we do know this in the Valley, that we really are all in this together. And if we work together, we can get on the other side of this pandemic. And I thank you so much for the work the Valley Indy is doing to get that good information out to the community.
No problem, Jimmy. Thank you so much, and take care.
Thanks so much, Eugene.
For hundreds of years, we brought you the news. Printed the info, we gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Changing market now threatens our lives.